Okay, here we go for the next series for this term. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and following, and our first study is chapter 8 verses 1 to 15. The first question is, who do you know that you would describe as a giving person? And this is the opening question, just to break a bit of ice and let people just chat about giving people in their lives and what made that, what did they give, what was it about them? Why did they give? That sort of thing. Read chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. Question under that section. What are the Macedonians giving their money towards? Now, I've got in brackets three passages that you really should just read together, and you'll be able to discern the question of where the Macedonians are giving their money. Acts chapter 11 is a prophecy about a famine. 1 Corinthians 16 is a decision that Corinth has made to give. And Romans 15 is a very important passage, which we'll come back to again in this study, explaining why it's important for the Gentiles, the Macedonians, to give towards the famine that is happening in Jerusalem. Next question, what surprises Paul about the Macedonians? Well, what surprises Paul is their eagerness to give and that they give themselves to the first to the Lord and then also to the Apostle Paul. And I think it's important to see that their giving themselves to the Lord is in response to their understanding that he has given himself to them. And also the fact that they not only give themselves to the Lord, but to the Apostle Paul is important because they're giving, they're aligning, they're giving themselves to the Lord with the mission that Paul has. And they are, by implication, saying, we are giving ourselves to Paul because we are giving ourselves to Jesus and the mission that Paul is taking on behalf of Jesus. And so that's what surprises Paul about the Macedonians. Why do you think this collection was very important to Paul? Well, that's Romans chapter 15 to have a look at. And really the very significant thing is that this is a collection from Gentiles for Gentile Christians for Jewish Christians. And this is an important way of expressing the unity that there is now in Christ between those two halves of humanity. Next section, read chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. What do you perceive has happened with the Corinthian collection in verse 6? Well, it seems in verse 6 that there has been some stalling on the actual completion of the collection. It seems that they initially had what would be called an act of grace, an intention to give, but they haven't actually completed that by actually giving. Something's gone on in between. Behind the scenes, we know that there were some so-called super apostles came along to Corinth and started to talk Paul down. And behind his back, Paul was away, they started to do that sort of thing and really began to say, no, Paul's not the real thing. And this would have brought a bit of hesitation for the Corinthians to continue to raise money to give to Paul. They would have stopped this. And so a lot of 2 Corinthians is Paul actually reasserting his position as an apostle and showing how these so-called super apostles are not the real deal. The next part of the question, what are the Corinthians excelling in and what are they not excelling in? Well, verse 7 says to us that they excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness and in love, but what they're not excelling in is that grace of giving. And this is a key part of grace acting out in their lives, that they are people who are giving. Next section, read chapter 8, verses 8 to 9. Why doesn't Paul just command them to give what they promised? He could, I suppose. He could have said, I command you to do what you've promised. You've said you would. But the reason that he doesn't command them is there in the verse, because he wants to test the sincerity of their love by comparing it with the earnestness of others, and those others are the Macedonians. So he is really, if this is a heart test for them, so rather commanding them to do something and them just doing their duty, so to speak, he's actually wanting them to engage with the heart, their own hearts, and ask themselves the question, why aren't they continuing in this concern for giving to others? The next one is read verse 9 again. And this is a really important verse, so I encourage you to take the time to meditate on this verse. The question is from this verse, when was Jesus rich? Well, we don't really know of a time in his life that he was rich. So it's probably, most likely, referring to Jesus' pre-existent state, that is, before he took on flesh, that is, his part in the Godhead as God the Son from eternity. He was rich in that respect. When did he become poor? Well, you can certainly see that in the Christmas story, in the manger, he is born in a manger. He is born to poor parents. They're only able to give a couple of doves in Luke chapter 2, I think it is, or 3, when they come to the temple. He becomes poor in his life. He has nowhere to lay his head. He becomes poor in the cross, giving all that he has, poor to death, really. Why did he become poor? Well, he became poor for the sake, for our sake. The very next bit of the verse says that he became poor so that by his poverty we can be made rich. Now, the question then is, how are you made rich by his poverty? I think there's so much to think about in this, and I want to do some more thinking as well. But just to reflect, in what ways are we rich because of Jesus taking on flesh, living this life of poverty and dying? We're certainly rich in forgiveness. We're rich in righteousness. That is, that we're right with God. But also we're rich in righteousness in that we now know how to live a grace-filled life. And one of the key expressions of a grace-filled life is the grace of giving and growing in that giving. And that's what this passage is about. The next section, read chapter 8, verses 10 to 15. What makes giving acceptable? Well, the verses there say that what makes giving acceptable is willingness. So not under compulsion or stingy, but deeply willing. And willingness is, as the verse says there in verse, where is it? It is verse 12. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. There's a couple of things there. It's willingness that's required. It's willingness, not unreasonable willingness, but willingness according to what you have. So Paul's not saying give so much that you now need to be given to because you've got nothing, but there is a willingness to give according to your means and even sometimes beyond your means, like the Macedonians did, because of the grace that has been shown to you by Jesus. The next part, the next question is, how are our hearts made willing? Well, the way our hearts are made willing is we reflect back on chapter 8, verse 9, that he who was rich, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. The last question there is, what would it look like for you to grow in the grace of giving? And growing in the grace of giving is what Paul calls the Corinthians to do in chapter 8, verse 7. Excel in the grace of giving, or grow in the grace of giving, whatever your translation has to say. But what would it look like for you to grow in the grace of giving? And I think it'd just be worthwhile just talking this through as a group, thinking through what it would look like, what it would look like in giving our time, what it would look like in giving our money, what it would look like in giving our help, or whatever it might be. There is a growing in the grace of giving, and the way that we grow in that grace is by reflecting and focusing in on Jesus, who has become poor for us so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Well, this passage will continue on. The ideas will continue on into the next chapter, and we're going to look at it for the next couple of weeks. So take your time. Don't rush through it. Particularly focus and meditate on chapter 8 and verse 9 and think through that. That'd be really good. Hope it goes well. And please remember our Thanksgiving Sunday coming up on the 26th of May, and those three projects of catering for community, of creating an internship for young people, and for what you'll find out on Sunday is the support for pastors in Bangladesh and the Mega Voice player, solar powered player. That's the one. All right, hope things go well, and talk to you soon. See ya.